Oh, you don't believe in the clocks. Okay. Once again, I greet you so much in Jesus' name. Let's pray for the word. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you that we are standing in this holy place to speak and share your word. I pray that, dear Holy Spirit, you may speak to us. You may move us towards our destiny, towards our calling. Remind us what we are supposed to do so that by the time you may reward us and reward us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today, the topic of my sermon says, we were created for good works. That's the topic of my sermon. We're going to start with the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We there? Amen? Okay, it says, up to 10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse number 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Are we all there? Yeah. According to that scripture, the Bible tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works. My sermon's topic says we are created for good works. Ladies and gentlemen, when we were created, there are some works that God predestined us for us to do. And if we don't do, we miss the goal. We miss the target. It's important as a church, as believers, to understand why we were created. It is important to understand why we were born in Jesus Christ. There was a reason why you and I were born in Jesus Christ. There are some good works that God knew that you were going to do them. I have seen a number of cars in the United States. They are huge ones, the trucks. There are also the small ones, like the one for Pastor Rand and some of you. Those small ones were made in the factory to carry people. Some were created to carry four, other three. I've seen even a certain car carrying one. There are also others, these big ones, the trucks, they were created, they were made in the factory for a certain reason, to carry wood, to carry big materials, to carry big boxes. That's the reason that the maker, that the producer had in mind when he was making a truck. It is a mess if you get a wood, a bunch of wood, and you load it in your cars. It is a mess. And it is a mess to use a truck to transport three people to church. That is a mess. That means that the one who is doing that, he did not understand why the truck was made. He did not understand the reason for making the truck. That's why he's doing a mess. And when you do that, you're going to waste your fuel. Your gas is going to be wasted. So even when you were being born in Jesus Christ, there are some good works that he planned that James will do them, starting with his family, his neighborhood, and to the ends of the world. Failure to do them, I'm making a mess. So I am here to encourage the church that we were created for a certain reason. We were born in Jesus Christ with some works that we are supposed to do. They may be hard to be done, but we are supposed to do them. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some works may be hard to be done. We were created to preach the word of God. Yesterday I was reading a certain scripture to a certain event which took place in Putnam. The Bible says that the gospel of the kingdom should be preached to the ends of the world, to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus knew that before the end will come, the gospel must be spread to all ends of the world. And who is obliged to spread the gospel? It's you and I. It's our responsibility to take the gospel to the ends of the world. It is our responsibility to speak to our neighbors about Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to witness the goodness of Jesus Christ. Those are good works that God appointed for us to do. Every person who is here, there are some good works that God expects from you, whether you are young or you are old. I've been observing American church. This is what happens. Most of the ministry is involved with old people. In Africa, we also involve the younger people. I want to call upon church that you involve in your ministry even the younger people, the young children. Because when they start ministry, when they are young, it will be very hard for them to forget the ministry. They may not be doing things professionally. They may not be serving in the best way you want. But when you involve with them, they will come to perfection one day, one time. Praise the Lord. Younger people, I want to call, actually parents, I want to call upon you. You bring your young children. You bring your children to the church. In our church in Africa, we have a choir for the children. We have a children dance choir. Sometimes we give them a Sunday service and they minister to us. They speak. They may not be accurate as old people, but we bear with them. We encourage them. We support them. And the more we support them, the more we encourage them. When they grow up, they become perfect. We were created for some good works. It is important to imagine and to think, what are the good works that I was created for? It is important to pose a question in your life. What are the good works? The Bible tells me that we were created in Christ Jesus beforehand for good works. You know, if we don't ask ourselves that question, we shall end up making a mess, walking the way we want, attending church twice a year, attending services once a month, because you don't know why you were created. We are on a mission, ladies and gentlemen. We are on a mission here on earth. Jesus died on the cross for us to redeem us. And after his redemption, he's expecting something out of us. The Bible gives a story of the talents, that one day a certain guy was going on a journey. And the story says, when he was going, he got his servants. To one, he gave how many talents? I'm asking a question. Are you hearing my accent? Eh? To one, he gave how many talents? 5. To another one, how many talents? Are you hearing me? What? To another one, he gave 2 talents. To another one, 1. Is that okay? And the Bible says that when he got these 3 servants, he gave them talents. He expected them to use these talents, and they produced some profits. The Bible says the one with the 5, he used them. He got profits. Another one with the 2, he used them. He got profits. Another one with the 1, he did not use the talent. He said, I knew you, Lord, that you reap where you never sown. You go where you never sown and reap. I feared you. I kept the talent safe. I hid it somewhere. I put it in the bank somewhere in a big safe. And now as you have come, here is your talent. And then the master said, the word is abusive. I don't want to speak it. Do you understand? The master said, no, this is a lazy servant. I gave you my talent to use it, that it profits. But you hid it. You kept it somewhere. I have incurred losses. Why did you do that? You had a wrong mentality over me. I wanted you to use the talent. The Bible tells us that he told him, get the talent bring it here. Just go your own way. He gave the talent to another person. You have a talent. I have a talent. Have I used it productively or not? When our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, was living, He left each and every one of us, whether in Africa or in America, He left with us some talents. Whether you believe it or not, you have some talents within you that you can do for the expansion of the kingdom of God. There are some hidden abilities in your life. There are hidden talents in your life. But have you used them? Have you maximized them? When the Master comes, what will you show Him? Which accountability will you give for what He gave you? I have come to encourage you, to remind you that in you, there are talents. There are some treasures. There are some abilities. They may not be the same, but they are there. And they are for the expansion of the kingdom of God. If you sit on them, sit, but the Master is coming back to ask a question. And the Master wants accountability. Which accountability are you going to give? And even if you are young, you are old, at any age, you are going to give an accountability. You have an ability within you. I am here to calling upon the church. Let the church rise up and do something for the expansion of the kingdom. This New England is waiting for you. Is waiting for somebody seated here that it will rise up. Do you know that our neighbors are going to hell because we are quiet? Because the church is silent? Your neighbors are going to hell. Your neighbors are still in drug addiction because you have not spoken. New England is still the way it is because of you. And revival does not start with a multitude. Revival doesn't start with a multitude. Doesn't start with a group. It starts with an individual who is committed to be used by God. Who is committed to do something for God. Who has understood that when I was created, when I was born in Christ, I had some good works that God planned for me to do. When he realizes, when he understands what he is and wakes up, God will join you. A certain preacher was preaching and he said, when we move 2 steps towards God, he moves 98. That's what the preacher said. So when you come out from your comfort zone to do what God called you to do, God will rapidly, quickly make 98 steps towards your movement. God will join you. God's power will join you. And you will make it. The reason why we have not changed our neighborhood, the reason why we have not changed our nation, the nation is going crazy, it's because some Christians are quiet. They are fearful. They are cowardice. They have not come up to do what God told them to do. Let me tell you something. The children of Israel suffered in Egypt for 430 years when Moses was there, quiet. Time came when they cried severely to God. Then God had to go to Moses and told him, Moses, Moses, my children are crying to me in Egypt. Can you please go and bring them? Moses said, I am unable. I cannot speak. I cannot talk. Pharaoh is a big man. I cannot even go. Egypt is a civilized nation. I cannot even attack them. They are very hard. They are very technical in every area. It is hard to bring those children back. Those were Moses' excuses. But God told him that, please, Moses, it is me who is calling you. It is me who is sending me. You were created to rescue them. You were created to redeem them. You were created to bring them out of their captivity. So I will give you power. I will give you the ability. You will go and bring them. Many people here are still like Moses. They say, we cannot make it. The Supreme Court said so and so. We cannot overcome that. This is the way Americans behave. We cannot change now. You cannot change them now. We give many excuses, but God may not listen to the excuses. Because the one who called you is faithful. And if you put in your shoes and you march forward, he will give you the ability. The one who called us is faithful. Even in the war zones, he will go with you. Even in hard places, he will go with you. The one who called us is faithful to help us fulfill our missions. It is we who have not surrendered to him. It is we who have not accepted him, who have not accepted to do the works he predestined us to do. But the moment you believe, you accept, and you march forward, he will help you out. He will go with you. You will achieve what you are supposed to achieve. The Bible says Moses gave excuses. I cannot speak. Pharaoh is a big man. It's a big nation. We cannot bring the children of Israel. But the children kept on dying, crying, suffering from captivity. When Moses is this way, giving excuses, do you know that some of our brothers and sisters are dying somewhere when we are giving excuses? When we are seated on ourselves. Some people are committing suicide when the church is here to help them. Some people are in drug addictions. Some people are making a lot of mess outside. They are messing up their lives. They are dying day and night when the church is quiet. And when we shall present ourselves before God, the Lord will tell us, I gave you the power. I gave you this. I put this ability in you. What did you do? Did you reach these people? In your generation, such and such a number of people died. But you were sitting in your houses. You were comfortably seated. That will be sad news to all of us. But it's my prayer that we all stand in our gap. We all stand in our position. We can change Norwich. We can change... Which sub-county is this? Which county? New London? We can change New London. We can change the entire county if we march forward. You know, God does not need a group of people to change the community. No. He just needs one person who is determining. Moses, only one person, brought the children of Israel from Egypt. Stopped all the cries and the tears. One person. When you read this Bible, Paul, only one person, changed cities and cities and cities. Wrote a number of episodes, a number of books. One person, not many. Many people of us, we wait for a group. Oh, when we sit with so and so, we shall do this. We sit with so and so, we shall do this. When you wait for a group, you may not do the work. You may not make the work done. But when you come up, God will join you and God will use you. There are some good works that God predestined for you to do, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't sit. Stand out and do those good works. And then the Lord will bless you. And then the Lord will use you. It's time to revive New England. When I was reading the history of New England, the gospel started from here. But someone told me that now the percentage of Christians in New England is 3%. Why? That's what somebody told me. That is almost 3%. Other people don't go to church. They don't want church issues. They don't want ministry. But who is going to rise up that percentage? It's you and I. If we come up and we do what we are supposed to do. God is challenging us. That's why for us we will not sit. We shall do whatever we could do. And God will bless us. You know, let me give you a simple story. It's not easy to get a visa to America. Our country is a third world. This is a first world country. It is a system. Visas are not easily given to people from third world to first world. It is a tug of war. But me, I knew that God called me not only in the third world, but even the third world to bring good news of Jesus Christ. I went to the embassy, to the consulate for the visa. They looked into my passport. They gave me a visa. I went back. I told my friends. They said, what? You've been given a visa to America? I said, yes. Say it. We can't believe. We can't believe. I said, you can't believe because you don't know what God called me to do. I am in my calling. That's why I have to receive a visa. Let me tell you something also. When you elected a new president, these are some of the policies they talked of. That when President Trump comes on power, I will not allow foreigners to enter America. So some of my friends told me, I've been going to America when it was Obama's generation. Now Trump is coming, you will not go there. Do you hear me, what I'm saying? I told them, no, I'm in my calling. Whether which president or not, I'll preach the gospel to the ends of the world. So I organized my documents. I organized my papers. I told them, please, accompany me to the airport. I'm going back. They said, but President Trump said it is hard now for foreigners. I said, I'm not a foreigner. I'm an ambassador of the gospel. I have to go. Then I got my papers, paid for my flight. I boarded the plane. When I arrived at JFK, the immigration officers welcomed me. They asked me some questions. That, sir, where are you going? I told them. What are you going to do? I told them. I am a pastor. They said, you're a pastor? How long are you going to be there? I told them. They said, you are welcome to America. Nice trip. I passed and came and I'm here. Praise God. I was admitted to come to the country because I'm in my calling. Because I'm doing what God told me to do. So when you rise up and you do what God expects you to do, God will give you the ability. God will help you out. Don't just sit. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another scripture. I have two scriptures I want to share with you. Let me share with you with Samson in Judges 13. I want to share with you about this guy, Samson. You call this guy Samson in your accent? Samson. That's good. I'm now learning American accent. Let me read. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Menor from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his hand, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Let me pause a bit. When Samson was born, he was born with a divine appointment, with a divine calling, with a divine assignment to deliver the children of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He was not merely born like anybody. No. It would be a mess for Samson not to understand why he was born. It would be a mess. He would be found in a bar dancing till morning if he not understand. If the church does not understand why it is here, it's going to make a mess. You know, the reason why these days some men want to become women is because they are failed to know why they were born. Do you understand? Last time when I was here, there was a certain gentleman who was a celebrity. He went back and the doctors made him a woman. That implies that he did not know the reason why he was born. When you don't know the reason why you were born, you end up making a mess. You become a nuisance in the society. You do whatever is vague in your life because you don't know why you were born. It would be a total mess if Samson was born and he did not realize, did not discover why he was born. He did not discover his purpose. He could mess up everything. But the Bible says he was born to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines, who were disturbing, who were torturing the children of Israel for 40 years. You may be here, ladies and gentlemen, when you were also born with an assignment, which you may not have known, or which you may be knowing, and you have failed to do that. So that's why I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to speak. When I was praying to God, what will I speak? That's what God brought on my heart. So he has a reason. There may be two or three people who needed this message, who need to wake up, discover, or if they have discovered, come out of the fear, come out of cowardness, and do something this generation. We shall not allow our brothers to die when we have something we can do. We shall not allow the gospel to be caged, to be silenced when we can speak. And the Holy Spirit is there to give us the ability to speak. We will rise up and do what you are supposed to do. And the more we rise up, God will join us. God will give us the ability. We have an assignment on our life. You have an assignment that you are supposed to do. You were created for good works. And those good works, you should try as much as possible to do them. And when you do them, God will bless us. This world will belong to God. The people will come back to God. Even these ISIS will get saved. Nobody can fail to get saved. They will turn to God. Sometime back in Iraq, there was no gospel. But time came, the gospel entered there. And some people are saved in some Islamic countries. It takes courage and faith for some people to do their calling. And when they do it, God backs them and God helps them out. Any activity that you feel God created you to do, please do it. God will be with you. Samson was born to deliver the children of Israel out of the Philistines. When he stepped forward, God's power joined him and he helped them out. They came out of that hand, that torture, that problem, through one man, not two men, not a group, but through one man, the Israelites were delivered from the hand of the Philistines. Our brothers and sisters are still outside, under the torture of the enemy, under the torture of different circumstances. It's this church, it's we who are going to deliver them. It's we that God has planted in this generation. You know, whatever is being a mess in this generation, we are accountable. We are accountable in any mess in this generation. Do you believe in that? That we are accountable for any mess in this generation? Yeah, because this is our generation. Other generations to come are not ours. It is this generation that is ours. We should not allow any mess. We should not allow the devil to mess up in our generation. We have to rise up and do something for God. Amen. As I'm almost winding up, I should not forget also to speak something here. When the Bible speaks about good works, a certain version says that God created for us some good works that we should walk in them. That's another version. There are some good works that God expects us not to do but to walk in them, starting from our families. The reason why our children, when they grow up, they leave God, they go out from church, is that sometimes even we parents, we fail to walk in some good works. We don't teach them. We don't speak to them. We are not exemplary to them. Some people, the reason why some of our neighbors are not believing God in Christ is because we have failed to walk in some good works. We have failed to live exemplary lives to the world. There is no difference between Christians and the non-Christians. So if we are born again, we should imitate Christ. He is our example. We should live as he is. We shall behave the way he wants. It is very important to check our lives also. Are we behaving the way Christ wants us to behave? Are we living the way Christ wants us to live? How would we conduct our life? That is also very important to us. Those are some of the good works that God expects us to walk in them. Do we forgive? Do we show love to others? Are we patient? Do we endure? Do we have faith in case of troubles? Do we persist in case of hard situations? Those are some of the good works that we are supposed to walk in them, we personally. In Africa, I have many Christians. They are Christians when the situation is good. When things are going on well, the finances are okay, no bills, no what, they are good Christians. And they enjoy church. But when life becomes tough, they quit church. They spend months without coming to church. You ask, why are you not attending church? All problems. All problems. We have also such kind of people. But in all situations, Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God? Is it hunger, famine, nakedness? What can separate us from the love of God? We should stick on God. We should stick on Christ during day and during night. When things are good and when things are not working out well, we should still be Christians. Our love should not wax cold. When bills are bills, bills are bills, bills are bills, place unto Jesus. In terms of sickness, diseases, stick on Christ. You may not know when God will come and heal you, when God will come and deliver you. Persistent people receive God's blessings, receive God's miracles. When you persist in God, God will never leave you. God will never abandon you. Paul said, was it Paul? Was it David? He said, I was young, but now I'm grown up. I've never seen a son of a saint forsaken. He was young and he's grown up, but he has never seen a son, a child of a saint forsaken. God will never leave his people. God will never forsake us. He loves us more and more and more. Though in sickness, though in troubles, though in hard situations, he will never leave us. Let us press our love to him. Let us keep on loving him. Let us press on. Let us do the good works. And when the time comes, God will reward us. God will compensate us. God will repay us. This is our generation. God has called us to do good works. Think of the good works that God has called you to do, and do them. God bless you. Thank you very much. Let me pray before I leave the pulpit. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your word that we have shared this morning. It's my prayer that I discover the good works that you want me to do. Help these people also discover, or those who have discovered, do the good works that you appointed them to do. Bless their lives. Bless their families. Those who are sick, heal them. Deliver them. Change them. Increase them. Those who are undergoing bills and bills, Father, get them out of the bills. Set them free. You have a divine appointment upon their lives. Father, you watch over them, King of glory. I pray in the name of Jesus, they will be delivered, they will be happy, they will live to fulfill their calling. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you very much. Amen.